This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Hi, welcome to Campus Voices. I'm your host, Hunter Mitchell. Today, we will be talking about net neutrality. According to a survey done by Statista.com, 74.5% of Americans had internet access in 2015. But last Thursday, most of our assumptions about how we'd use the internet changed. Net neutrality used to be the internet's guiding principle. Well, not anymore. It gave citizens the right to communicate openly online. Now, internet service providers have the power to block and discriminate against any application or website. According to the Federal Registrar, last December, the Federal Communications Commission and Chairman Ajit Pai voted on getting rid of the net neutrality protections that have been in order for years. This past week, the FCC voted to end net neutrality on April 23rd. Morgan Lloyd reports on how the repeal to net neutrality could be felt in your everyday life.
Net neutrality is a term that has resurfaced in the media in recent years. But what it truly means and the changes that the Federal Communications Commission has proposed are extensive and have caused confusion for America. Professor Don Lowe from the University of Kentucky's Department of Communication specializes in media studies. He says that the changes in net neutrality may not be as drastic as some may think.
Affects our daily lives. I don't think it did anything other than stop providers from engaging in certain practices, like slowing down or speeding up or charging more for internet access. They kind of already were doing that, and they kind of continued to do that.
The effect changes to net neutrality have on our daily lives won't truly be known until they go into effect. These changes to net neutrality policies developed during the Obama era could be felt here in Kentucky as well. Dr. Bryce Newell from the University of Kentucky explains what net neutrality means for Kentuckians.
Well, for the state, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I think it does, for the state of Kentucky, repealing net neutrality has potentially significant implications, particularly in those places where individuals don't have ready access to the internet or don't have options in terms of who their service provider is.
On April 23rd, our interaction with the internet could change forever. The daily lives of Kentuckians won't be the only ones to face change. The repeal of net neutrality will be felt nationwide.
Here to talk to you and provide guidance on the topic are University of Kentucky professors Jiju Tai. How are you doing, Maester Tai?
Very good.
Nick Proferis.
Hi, very nice to be here.
And a member of the Lexington Mayor's Administration, Scott Shapiro.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Dr. Jiju Tai is an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Media. His primary area of research pertains to the various aspects of the socio-polycultural ramifications of the blossoming new media sector in China. He teaches courses in telecommunications policy and regulation. Dr. Nick Proferis has his PhD from the University of Wisconsin in Information Studies. His primary interests include information security and social media. Finally, we have Mr. Scott Shapiro. Mr. Shapiro is the Chief Innovation Officer at the Office of Lexington Mayor Jim Gray. Thank you all for joining us. Dr. Proferis, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Will the changes that come with repealing net neutrality be noticeable to the average internet user?
Well, the short answer is that we really don't know yet. It's going to depend on whether or not these things actually take effect on April 23rd, because this ruling came out, and we have a line of people who are already setting up to sort of challenge it. There's some congressional leaders who are really pushing for some new legislation that will allow Congress to essentially repeal this act. So it's kind of a big question right now what this actually looks like come April 23rd.
Dr. Tai, if no real change is expected to come with net neutrality, why is the repeal such a concern to the American people as well as some of these political or these politicians?
The change we can anticipate, there are two levels of that, the short term and long term. We don't know what's going to happen if this takes effect, the long term impact, but if this takes a fundamental change to the infrastructure of the internet, of the design and the policy, there is sure going to be long-term ramifications that are going to unfold if this takes into effect. The recent news, like AT&T, is already starting to negotiate with partners in enforcing net neutrality, specifically what they can do if this goes into effect. Now, for the average users, it depends on how things play out in the long term, what kind of partnerships that are going to happen. But they should expect that this is going to somehow influence what is going to happen, what they're going to experience on the internet in the years along the road. Because everybody is so dependent on the internet now, and every little bit change, it might be pivotal change for some particular groups. Especially when we talk about the groups who need the internet in the most limited fashion, they might be affected the most.
Dr. Preferis, the Pew Institute reports that 7 out of 10 Americans use some social media platform. So how does net neutrality affect social media?
Wow, that's a really big question because, again, it's the kind of thing where we don't know the answer to that. Now, we can think of some hypotheticals, right? Let's say that a ISP, for example, developed its own social media company, right? Well, if the net neutrality law came into effect it comes into effect as expected, where it'll be a repeal, then theoretically, a ISP could prioritize, traffic to their own social media company or social media site rather than another site. Now, I would expect that we wouldn't see any big changes right away to things like social media on the consumer side, because consumers would frankly be in an uproar. This would look very bad for something like this to happen right away. But what the long term of this sort of looks like is really a much bigger question. Will, for example, Facebook have to individually negotiate with ISPs to have their traffic prioritized? Will ISPs ask consumers to pay more to have their Facebook traffic essentially prioritized? It can happen on both ends, right? And so there's just a really big question here of, we don't know what could actually happen to social media as we know it quite yet. But this will be particularly important for social media that essentially suck up a lot of bandwidth. And that's an important thing to kind of keep in mind, right? An organization like Google may be under a different set of circumstances because they offer YouTube. And if we think of YouTube as a social media service, right, that takes down a tremendous amount of bandwidth because of video content, there could be additional pressures on them in particular.
Dr. Tai, the First Amendment gives citizens freedom of speech. So does net neutrality affect or break the rights outlined in the First Amendment?
Well, certainly it's going to affect First Amendment rights of the average citizens, because it's going to have some kind of effect on certain types of content. But legally, it's not a violation, because the First Amendment is about the government entities. Network neutrality mainly involves change with the industries, what type of industrial alliance we're going to see, what type of partnerships we're going to see, and how things will play out in distributing content to the users from the commercial services. So in that regard, really, it's not a legal thing. It's not a legal violation of the First Amendment right, but it's affecting, apparently, the practice of First Amendment issues with the average citizens.
Mr. Shapiro, with the repeal of net neutrality, internet service providers will be able to slow speeds and block content. So is this a completely bad thing, or are there positives with giving internet service providers more power?
Well, there are some examples where this is happening already in a sort of related area where some people, there hasn't been outrage. So AT&T owns DirecTV, and if you subscribe to, you know, AT&T, their mobile service, you get sort of free streaming of DirecTV channels. And so that's a window into, you know, this net neutrality conversation, and that, you know, does that effectively, so that preferences these channels and AT&T's services. And so if you're, let's say, hypothetically a startup, you have a channel, you're not going to be, you're not going to be able to, folks who aren't with AT&T, or even folks with AT&T, they're not going to have the free streaming of your service. So you're at, you know, in some ways you're at a disadvantage. And that's really this broader question about, you know, what kind of activity net neutrality, repeal of net neutrality is going to suppress. You know, will this preference for this ability to prefer one company over another because they've paid the internet service provider, you know, will that suppress, you know, innovation and smaller companies that, let's say, can't afford the fee? I do think it's important to know there is a short-term and a long-term effect. I think where we're operating right now is we're in the midst of a sort of a battle in the courts, in Congress, and in the broader national conversation. Right now, just after, so there's 21 states that are suing the federal government over this. There are states that are trying to enact legislation, Montana and Washington, California, others, that would try to prevent the effects of net neutrality in their states. You're going to see, this is, I think that the polling on this is such that you're going to see lots of governors trying to do what they can to protect their citizens from what they see as the effects of this. But when I say short-term and long-term, so short-term, I just want to read just a couple sentences from what Charter issued. So Charter is the, what Charter issued after the FCC net neutrality repeal. So Charter is the cable company that's here in Lexington. Spectrum is their brand. And so their statement was, Charter has had a longstanding commitment to an open internet, which is why we don't block, throttle, or interfere with the lawful activities of our customers. Don't impose data caps, usage-based billing. So anyway, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but essentially what they're saying is that don't worry, trust us, you're going to be okay despite what just happened with the FCC. Now, so it remains to be seen how long they can hang on to this. You know, is this something that's going to guide them for the next decade? Or will potentially some competitive concerns force their hand and say, look, you know, AT&T and DirecTV or some other sort of competitive issue out there is forcing us to say, look, we've got to start prioritizing. Or, you know, you could even say that so many people are cutting the cord right now, right, getting rid of their cable television and just going over-the-top internet only. You know, that's putting further pressure on these cable-based internet service providers, cable companies. You know, there may be revenue issues where they just have to, you know, figure out other ways to generate revenue down the road. So I think there is sort of a short-term and a, you know, short-term, I think we're okay for the time being. I don't think we're going to see any dramatic changes even after the April sort of switch is flipped. But over the long term, it's a different question.
Now let's focus on students. At virtually every level of schooling, having technology and internet access is a must. So with students of all ages having the World Wide Web at their fingertips, that could all change with the repeal of net neutrality. Philip Hawkins has more on how the repeal could make things harder for students.
Being a college student, having internet access is a must. In recent years, the internet has started playing a more pivotal role in how students learn. Repealing net neutrality could make it harder for students to get the information they need. Professor Bryce Newell from the School of Information Science says the restricting information from students will be detrimental.
I think in the university setting, we often, we do prioritize the access to knowledge, access to information in the world around us. And I think that potentially being limited or at least restricted in various ways to getting access to that information could be a detriment to students who are doing research or who are, faculty or other researchers on the campus who are wanting to do research.
Like Mr. Newell said, schools prioritize students having access to information. Repealing net neutrality does not completely take away that information. It just makes it harder to get.
Dr. Tai and Dr. Preferis, being professors on a college campus, how do you think the repeal of net neutrality affects not only you guys as educators, but the students as well? We'll start with you, Dr. Preferis.
Oh, boy. Well, I think for students, it's going to be, again, a question about the long term, right? Are they going to see their own, if they're, you know, living off campus and, you know, in a home, are they going to have to pay more for internet access? There's going to be a question about, you know, do you have to pay more for an internet service because Netflix has decided to pass along the cost of reaching an agreement with the local ISP onto customers? So there's a lot of ways that could manifest for students financially. I think that there's some very serious questions about, you know, how we end up prioritizing certain kinds of access to information. And I think that's a very important conversation to have, particularly as we use the internet more and more for things like political, cultural, social, economic, benefits.
Dr. Tai?
Now, this issue, 10 years ago, I asked the students in media arts and studies to pay attention to the debates, because this debate has been going on for a while. But for the students in journalism and the media, this is a great opportunity for them to learn historically what has happened, for example, and to understand the key issues being debated. Now, one thing that you can sort of get a glimpse of what could happen down the road is the history of AT&T. In very much the first 20th century, AT&T was a big part of everyday life because everybody was so dependent on AT&T. But they were such a monopolistic kind of player in the field. It came to 1982, the divestiture, because the government had to do something. People were so upset, they were so unhappy with the service they were having. Something like that could happen along the road if we don't do things well, or we don't have the controls in place. Now, some statistics. 10 years ago, thousands of companies were directing about 50% of the content online. 5 years ago, it came down to about 150. Today, 30 companies, Netflix, like that, 30 of those companies, they dominate 50% of the content. Now, another part of that is the ISP market is highly concentrated today. That's very different than 10 years ago. So when ISP can't do so much to control the flow of the internet, because when I talk about net neutrality, essentially, the focus is on the last mile issue, the last mile access, which is the critical component for average citizens to access the internet. So when they can play such a powerful role, there are a lot of implications, a lot of things that might be affected. So this is the opportunity for the students to learn the different aspects of the debate, what it means for them, what they can do at the same time.
Mr. Shapiro, University of Kentucky is a major educational institute, but not all colleges are as big as Kentucky is. So how do you think the loss of net neutrality will affect the smaller institutions like community colleges or online schools?
Community colleges and online schools. It's hard for me to say right now. What I can talk about, though, is show the effect on Lexington and mm-hmm. the University of Kentucky. As a whole, and we have obviously a big community technical college system here in Lexington as well. And I've got some what I think is really good news for the folks of Lexington, and that is we are going to be one of the very few cities in the whole country that's going to have real competition among internet service providers here in Lexington. In most every city, Dr. Tai was saying, the internet service providers, the cable companies, have divided up the country. They don't compete with each other. you know, there's, you know, Time Warner, or now it's Charter in New York City is the dominant provider. Here in Lexington, it's Charter, the dominant provider. There's Comcast and Cox, and they don't go into each other's territories. They just are quasi-monopolies in their own cities. Now, they each have their own competition, but very often it's sort of legacy telephone companies that are providing internet service via DSL, which has always been slower than cable and now is increasingly tough to use for folks who want to stream lots of content and maybe do it in HD and 4K, multiple screens. It's getting tougher and tougher for the legacy telephone companies to keep up and to make the massive investment that's required to really compete with fast speed. So most of the country just has one major provider, but here in Lexington, through a project that I helped lead, Mayor Gray's Gigabit project. So what we did is we sort of understanding what kind of city Lexington is. We're a university city, a real lots of knowledge economy jobs. We knew that we needed faster internet speeds here, and that, you know, if there was a one dominant provider, they might be reluctant to make the investment to fiber and fiber to the home, which would deliver gigabit speeds. So we spent the last 3 years trying to make this happen, and I'm happy to say today this is recent news that we're going to be the largest gigabit city in the country. There's a company called Metronet spending between $70 and $100 million to build a fiber to the home network here, basically on telephone poles down every street. Wherever there is Charter right now, there's going to be Metronet as well, with a fiber optic network and gigabit speeds at competitive prices. So what this does in terms of net neutrality is I think that this makes Lexington somewhat immune to some of the tougher scenarios that people are imagining around net neutrality. It's hard to imagine that either Charter or Metronet would, you know, throttle or give preference to one sort of streamer over another, or charge sort of odd new fees, knowing that there's a real competitor that folks can easily just call up and switch to. Now, it wouldn't provide immunity to some of the sort of indirect effects. So what Nick was talking about, and, you know, let's just say there are large fees being charged Netflix, they're going to pass that cost along to the customers, whether it's in Lexington or in New York City. But I do think that Lexington occupies this special place where we're going to be somewhat immune. And this construction project has just started. We just started issuing the first permits. They're putting up fiber on the telephone poles as we speak. It's a three-year-long project, but they're going to start turning on their first customers at the end of the summer.
We've talked about affecting students, so now let's transition to the state. So Kentucky's Attorney General Andy Beshear stood with 20 other state leaders in suing the FCC over their net neutrality decision. And when asked about his thoughts on that decision, Mr. Beshear said that, quote, the destructive nature it will have on every Kentuckian, from farmers to college students who use free and open internet to thrive and prosper. So, Dr. Tai, how does free access to the internet affect Kentucky's push to improve the education system?
Again, because the internet access affects the people who need the service the most if net neutrality comes into play. Because those are the people who are struggling, and the small business owners, farmers, people living in rural areas, they don't have much of a choice, but depend on one or sometimes, you know, limited services from two. You have to take whatever is available from them. And potentially, ISPs, they can do a lot by partnering up with content providers. Think about Skype. It's not going to be good for innovation in the long term, because those big guys, even Facebook, Skype, Netflix, if they partner up with each other, it's very easy for them to nip whatever competitors that may emerge in the long run. And that's bad for the average users, because it means the additional service fees you need to pay for the same kind of services probably in the long term. Again, the playground, the playfield. What's going to happen if net neutrality is gone? What happens in the next 10 to 20 years? We don't know for sure what's going to happen, but there's a lot of unpredictability. But that's not good for the average users with lifelines so much dependent on whatever they can get from the internet.
Mr. Shapiro, Kentucky is one of 22 states that's actually suing the FCC over its planned rollback of the net neutrality changes. So why are the net neutrality changes so detrimental to the state?
They're not at the moment. We're not going, and again, I don't think we're going to see, even in the short term, any sort of negative effects. And again, there's a defense that the industry has that this is, we've been talking about the negative effects that are hypothetical at the moment. But the industry will say that, look, this frees up not having to comply with these regulations, gives them the ability to create sort of interesting and creative arrangements with providers. And we can't imagine at the moment the innovation that will be unleashed by this, the freedom from regulation. And that may well be the case. As actually I was saying, you know, certainly with AT&T, freeing them up from regulation and creating had a positive effect. I think there are fewer people that see that here with this deregulation, but that's not to say that won't happen. That's their argument. One thing that folks can do now, if you're worried, is there's an app that's been developed called WEHE, W-E-H-E. An app you can download that sort of tests your ISP for net neutrality.
And we don't have a whole lot of time left, but if you could each of you sort of give a quick prediction of what you actually think is going to happen? You already mentioned, Mr. Shapiro, what people can do, but anything else that you guys wanted to add? So we'll start with you, Mr. Preferis.
I think that a judge is going to have to end up making a call on this, and I think that that's going to be really interesting because they are very often the least technically inclined.
Dr. Zach?
No offense. Judges, you might be listening.
Well, it's going to be legally challenged first for the Congress is already contemplating what they might do. And just today, the state of Washington passed a law banning the ablation of net neutrality in their state. And yesterday, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals supported the FTC, their rule in the process, because FTC protects consumers. So there is this contention between FTC and FCC. So the legal battle is just starting.
And Mr. Shapiro?
Yeah, I don't think anyone has anything to worry about in the short term. If there was an internet service provider that started blocking or throttling or doing paid prioritization while this was playing out in the courts, I imagine that would probably not be a strategy that their legal team would recommend. And this is going to play out for a while. So I think we're all safe for now. But again, I think over the long term, Lexington is in this very sweet spot of being somewhat immune from some of the potential downsides.
Well, if we've learned anything today, it's obvious that this is an ever-changing discussion, and we're going to figure out a lot of unknowns in the next few months. So thank you to our guests, Dr. Zhiju Tai, Dr. Nick Preferis, and Scott Shapiro for joining us and sharing additional input on net neutrality. Join us next week when we discuss medical marijuana and House Bill 166. I'm Hunter Mitchell, and you've been listening to Campus Voices on WRFL 88.1 FM.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.